Mini episode 188 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs consulting and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at pullinsgroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
The real miracle of the week in that situation, I bet you believe you're going to do this.
The Canadian single-payer death panels didn't pronounce death on Jerry Lawler. They actually treated him.
Yeah, imagine that. It actually worked. Wow. What do you know? Unlike the atrocity that I went through for the last 3 months, your beautiful American entrepreneurship. I can't believe you set me up like this, by the way. I'm not fired up already, though. I'm 30 seconds into this program with your boys and aunt. Well, I'm not going
to mention
it.
I'm starting to hear you over the world's tiniest violin about your healthcare situation.
So it's like, well, it'd be nice. See, here's a guy. I go to the doctor 3 times a decade, okay? So against all odds, I'm somehow a healthy human being, okay? Trust me, you tell me the odds
you
is we're about to for the next hour. I believe in the screw can in the single, but I believe in the Far Eastern technique. But anyway, you know, I've been battling for 3 months to get the coverage that I wanted, okay? Give me, oh, Canada. Len, by the way, yes, I do join you in giving condolences to the Jerry the King Lawler.
Well, he's doing better now. So
yes,
we don't want to date this thing.
Yes.
He's doing better.
Yes, that's true. But by the way, shame on you for using that as a way to attack the fine folks of Canada.
Yeah, well, I'm glad he was able to survive despite where he was at, but that's another story for another day, I suppose.
Man was going to run into the doctor's office and yell, ring the bell, or something like that. to bring this full circle, I did think, did Roger Goodell maybe do that to the Saints last week when they were coming down the field with a chance to win? It didn't matter anyway. I was waiting for old Roger to call Vince McMahon and have his refs just call some hideous penalty on them to make them lose.
Well, the Saints would have deserved no less for being such whiny babies about the whole Bountygate scandal. But
yeah, I'll say that was the biggest surprise. You know, we talked about that week one usually has them. That was clearly it.
Yep.
And I'm fired up for a great program today, Ricky. With week two. Week one, I talked about generally one of the two my two least favorite weeks to bet NFL, along mm-hmm. with the last week. It's just so hard. There wasn't much that I really officially gave out. It's a tough week. It's one I like to lay low. But I'm ready for this week, too, man. I love this card.
Okay.
And the great thing about it is you can always use the previous week's results to your advantage. Because fan bases, commentators, some cases, lines makers completely overreact sometimes to what we see in week one. And I would highly recommend, and I'm going to obviously give out my picks. I know you maybe differ in opinion on some, but,
okay.
You know, let's hopefully we can teach that to the folks at least. Don't buy into the hype off one game. It
right.
is very key when betting week two.
It definitely is the key. Last week, again, week one is always brutal. Somehow or another, I scratched out 8-8 on all of the picks here and was grateful to do so, frankly. 1-2 on my big three, 1-0 on my 1,000-star gold-plated Lock of the Millennium for NFL week one. You hit 2 out of 4 on the ones that you really liked last week here. So week one, as you said, was exceedingly brutal.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. And then, you know, Point Morris, certainly, in that big game. I will say that Kansas City, by God, played its heart out for, you know, a lot of people I realize maybe just zone into one game. I mean, I'm insane to watch football with them during 1 o'clock. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm just moving my head constantly, just yelling random things out. And I was watching that
NFL.
Yeah, I was watching that Falcons-Chiefs game with great interest for the first 2.5 quarters, I'd say. And the Chiefs were dead even with them. And then there was a missed field goal, some turnovers, it was over. Those things happen in the league. I mean, that was the most fun game to watch in the first half
Yeah.
So
I couldn't hardly believe what was happening.
Yeah, I was watching it, and so we'll see. We'll see. You know how these go. I think you and I are going to disagree a lot this week.
I think we are.
I really think we're going to disagree a lot this week because there's a lot of juicy home dogs that I think, you know, I'm not lumping you in with the public, but I think that the public is going to not be too fond of that I'm all about this.
Okay. Week. Well, starting with the first one here on the slate, Tampa Bay at the Giants. The line looks to move from about 9 to about 7. Giants laying about 7. On this one, and very interesting. The money seems to be moving towards Tampa Bay, surprising week one win, but I got to tell you, I like the Giants in this one.
Last week, kind of interesting here, the first game in the rotation order was Indy-Chicago. I talked about how some people would have been asking me questions in those eliminator pools, you know, where you just have to pick one straight-up winner per week, can't use them again, the rest of the season. You're familiar with these, I'm sure.
Yes.
Most of the listeners are as well. The Bears were my choice last week, and it was a good one. Once again, I'm going right off the top with my pick for Survivor pools. I love the Giants this week, not just to win, but to cover this spread. I love that the numbers come down a little bit. The Giants have covered 7 straight times when they've been playing with more rest than their opponents.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to point that out. Tampa Bay, it was not an impressive week one victory over Carolina. I thought that was more of Carolina stinking. The Giants, we'll talk about what I think the layoff is going to do to Dallas later, but I think the layoff is really going to fire them up. They've had now 10 days to hear about, oh, what happened? You know, you're the first Super Bowl winner to come back and lose the opener in God knows how long. They're a much better team. I really think they roll Tampa Bay. But if you're one of those eliminator pools,
mm-hmm.
don't waste New England, because I know that's the most popular pick, and we're going to talk about them in a second. Go with the Giants this week.
You know what, though? But here's the whole thing on the concept of wasting picks. It's a thing where, and I found this out the hard way, you sit there in week 2 or week 3, I'm not sure I want to waste this pick. You may not make it to the next week.
True. That's true.
That's the thing.
Giants have a lot more tougher division matchups than the Patriots. Well, that's just, and it's still early.
So we agree on that one.
I'll put a check mark next to the Giants. That's one of the 6 official ones that I'm going to
see. All right.
Giants are one of my 6 officials this week.
Okay. So you're
really,
you're on that
a
one.
Rare favorite that I'm going with this week.
Okay, yeah, that kind of surprises me, because
yeah.
I know your proclivities when it comes to the NFL.
Yes.
All right.
But yeah, I really think the Giants tattoo Tampa Bay.
Okay, next game up here, New England hosting Arizona. Patriots laying 14, had been 13 earlier in the week. This may surprise you a little bit, I don't know. I mentioned that there were 5 games total this week where I liked the dog.
Wow,
I'm surprised. This is one of them. I got a feeling Arizona's going to end up backdoor covering this one. I'm generally weary of double-digit spreads. I have been known to lay this many, certainly, but this just has a weird feeling to me that Arizona gets the backdoor cover.
Yeah, that's the way I'm thinking. Kind of, it's one of those situations where, you know, kind of hold your nose the whole game, don't really watch it. Hopefully Arizona's down by about 17. They've got the ball, and New England lets them waltz in at the end to get the backdoor cover.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona has covered the last 2 times. They've been a double-digit dog, oh, by the way, while New England just 2-3 the last time they're laying 10 or more. So, not official, a slight lean only to Arizona. They're going with Kevin Cobb this week.
Yes.
Over John Skelton, you know, it's not much of an upgrade. I mean, it's kind of a 6-1, half a dozen to the other kind of
argument
there.
Cat poop or dog poop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I go a slight lean towards Arizona here. I just think that, you know, as impressive as New England was last week, they really have no interest in covering this kind of spread. Back door will be open.
That's what I'm thinking as well.
I'm like what you said, I hate double-digit favorites, especially this early in the season. A little later in the year where some of the teams are waving the white flag, you can look at some double-digit favorites, but not here, not this early in the season.
And again, I'm a little bit surprised, aren't you, that Arizona's week one win wasn't priced into the number at all?
Yeah, because I know a lot of people lost on that one. Again, road favorites.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm going to be hitting this up, you know, when we hit to the real meat of the card here in the middle, where there's a lot of road favorites. Road favorites only 2-3 against the number last week. Now, New England was one of the 2 that did cover.
Mm-hmm.
But Arizona covered as a home dog. It was kind of a sloppy win over Seattle, but it surprised most people. And it just shows, I think, you know, New England's always kind of overpriced.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's what it's a case of.
Might very well be, yeah, public team. This next game here, just from our brief notes off air, we're going to have some concurrence.
again, I
believe. Wow. Okay. Where's all the disagreement?
It'll come eventually. Well, we're at the part of the card here where I like me some dogs. This is Minnesota at Indianapolis. Minnesota started off, I believe, -3 down to -1.5. It's a thing where I understand, and as FDH Lounge dignitary and FDH Director of Research Nate Noy pointed out to me this week, yeah, AP might get like 500 yards on the ground against Indianapolis. Fair enough. Maybe this is just a knee-jerk thing I shouldn't give into. I don't think Minnesota should be favored by 1.5 on the road against a UFL team, much less anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, Minnesota's one of two teams that I was shocked, one of two road teams that I was shocked to open up as a favorite. Obviously, anyone who listened to our previews know that I, you know, don't have much of a high opinion of the Vikings' chances this year. Not because necessarily they're a horrific team, though the worst in the league, but that, I mean, they play in a tough division, and I just didn't think they would win many games. Now, I did say they would win one of their first two because they had Jacksonville and Indianapolis. I mean, certainly those are two teams that are kind of on par with them. They needed one win. They got it last week in overtime, but they needed a rally to beat Jacksonville. I think that's important. The Vikings franchise has never won in Indianapolis, by the way, Ricky, going 0-11 all time. Wow. I hate them as a road favorite. Mm-hmm. And this is a big one for Andrew Luck. I know it's real early, but, you know, Peyton Manning looked good last week.
Yep.
RG3 looked good last week. Luck turned the ball over a lot. This is his home debut. He really, I know this is going to be worldwide hyperbole, in your opinion. He really needs to win this game, I think. And if you listen to previews, I thought Indy would be able to get to 6 wins based largely on their home schedule. Give the Colts a win here. This is an official one for me. I like the Colts to definitely win this game. You don't even need – the 1.5 is really immaterial at this point. It would have been nice if you bet it earlier in the week out of the 3.
Okay.
But it, to me, Indianapolis will win this game straight up.
One of my issues that I have where I don't – as much as I like Indianapolis as well, it's a thing where – anytime it's two shaft teams playing one another, that just scares me a little bit.
Well, yeah, but last week it was kind of like that with Minnesota and Jacksonville. If I remember, we both took Jacksonville with the points.
Right, but that wasn't a big point for either of us. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a big point, but it was 3 on the hook, and they covered with the hook. Thank you very much. To me, it's just, you know, I think people are like, oh, AP's back, and you can just play against that. And the Colts did not look good, but they played a much better team on the road. In Chicago, I mean, a Chicago team who looked really good, sans the first quarter there, but I just think at home, you know, the Vikings, by the way, here's another one too, 1-8 against the number off a straight up win the last 3 seasons.
Ooh, okay.
So again, classic case of, you know, taking the 0-1 team over a 1-0 team.
Okay.
Which is something I look to do in week 2 a lot because it's still the parity. So
the fact that Minnesota opened up -3 on the road,
that stunned me. I mean, this is a bad team.
Well, going back to last week, I asked you, because we both wondered on Cincinnati-Baltimore, and Baltimore's laying 6. I said this seemed like at least a borderline why ask why, go the other way. I didn't. Is this one close to a why ask why, that the wise guys started with Minnesota, you know, and odds makers -3?
No.
Is it that bad?
No.
Okay.
I think the general public has a pretty low opinion of Indianapolis.
And a much higher opinion of Minnesota?
No, not well. Okay. They have Adrian Peterson. I mean, you know, people, oh, AP's back. You know,
okay.
And that's basically why I think the line is where it is.
Okay.
I mean, the Colts, to me, should, I mean, they should be like a 3-point favorite. I think this line is off fairly significantly.
Okay. I would be surprised if the run of concurrence ended with this next one here. New Orleans at Carolina. The Saints, inexplicably after last week and inexplicably after their offseason, a road favorite here, laying 3. Had
wait
been
a minute!
Earlier
I'm surprised.
Week.
Rick Morris, you're. What? Could you repeat what you just said? Because I was getting all ready to like get fired up and come out punching here.
I'm taking Carolina. I'm taking the home dog with the points here.
You are.
Well, most of the road dogs I'm taking happen to be early here. We're going to start differing as we go along.
Okay. Well,
yeah. I mean, this is. I am on the panel.
Somebody called Jamie Horowitz. We're disagreeing. We're agreeing too much on this program. But look, I realize a lot of people are going to give me guff. Carolina was a team that I predicted to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And while it would be easy to jump off the bandwagon, and to be honest with you, I said it was kind of shaky. I believe in Cam Newton, but there's probably going to be 2 teams, not one, that come out of that NFC East. But anyway, for guys like you and I who were really pounding the drum on Saints regression, there's some people like, oh, let's deal Drew Brees, they'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was starting to doubt myself last doubt, you know, kind of our opinion that the Saints, you know, like, really? I'm saying the Saints are, you know, 7-9? This team has been really good this year, or the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, there would have to be some real bad losses. For our opinion, we got a big thumbs up last week with a home loss to Washington. There were people who loved the Saints last week, minus the points.
Yep.
If you remember, I mean, after we did the program, the suspensions were lifted to the players, remember? And everyone's like, oh, they're going to crush Wash. On Friday, everybody was saying how they're going to crush Washington. Saints were 9-0 against the number last year in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Notice how that's one of the few arenas I will acknowledge the sponsor. Thank you very much. But I'm not backing off Carolina. There's one playoff team that I predicted that I'm already jumping off the bandwagon. Carolina's not it, though. I love them as a home dog. People, and by people, I mean the average bettor might look at, oh, the Saints can't go 0-2. Well, why not? I think Carolina, I'm not giving up on my pick. Carolina wins. The Saints, a very ordinary road team. Rick Morris. And this is not a team who, you know, I mean, they dominated, obviously, at home last year, won every game, but they were, like, 500 on the road. And Carolina, better defensive team this year. It was the offense that let them down. Panthers, I believe, get the outright win.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm figuring, too. They had a live dog.
Yeah, and just to illustrate something, too, about the home-road dichotomy, the Saints, one of the strongest in the league, they've averaged less than 24 points per game their last four road games on grass.
Okay.
So, you know, that's obviously a far cry from what they do at home, where they averaged nearly 40 points a game last year.
That's a very good point. This next one here, I got a
Carolina, an official one for me. Put that one down.
Oh, that is an official one. Okay.
Wait. Wasn't okay, actually. I had six shirted down here. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Here. Let me count real quick here, Ricky. A little on the fly here. 1, 2, 3, 4.
And
it's official.
It official. All right. The next one, I have very little doubt that this is where we diverge. Of course, if we do diverge on the next one, this means you're going with the mouth breathers and the general public. On the next one here, Kansas City at Buffalo. The Bills have gone from laying 7 at the beginning of the week all the way down to 3. The dumb public is jumping on Kansas City with both feet.
I wonder about that. I saw that too. I'd like to get somebody an official ruling if that was ever a line. If that was only ever 7. I mean, I know it's high, but sometimes, no. I look at it like, I mean, was that really a lot? I find that hard to believe because that moved real early. I'm taking a look here.
Okay.
I mean, wow. I mean, is that true that it was really bet from 7 to 3.5?
Yeah.
I mean, what did the president of the Sudan come to Vegas? And, I'd like to get an official ruling on that, but continue.
You know, if for no other reason, I'll tell you what, and this is very close to a why ask why for me. They started the Bills at minus 7. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I need no further persuasion. I'm taking the Bills.
I mentioned just a few moments ago with Carolina, who was kind of my sleeper pick in the NFC, that I'm not ready to jump off their bandwagon. Ooh, baby, about 2:30 last Sunday, I was jumping off this Bills bandwagon. They're not going to make the playoffs. I've already turned on them after one game. They looked 48-28 to the Jets. Does not even begin to tell out this
week.
They were down 41-7 at one point.
Right.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has looked awful since that contract he signed. But more disconcerting. But by the way, the injury bug has bit him again. Fred Jackson hurt. The receiver got hurt.
C.J. Spiller came in and did some.
By the way, yeah, he did. Nice that he was on my bench for the fantasy team. By the way, but he did. But I mean, they were getting clobbered, and this defense has looked awful.
Yeah.
Going back to the preseason, just awful. Kansas City, as I mentioned at the outset, was toe to toe with 2.5 quarters with a good Atlanta team. Also, huge revenge game for the Chiefs. Not a lot of people probably remember their Chiefs-Bills history, but last year in Week 1, the Chiefs blown out their worst home loss ever at Arrowhead, 41-7.
Okay.
They'll remember that. This is an official one for me. Chiefs get the outright win.
I thought for a second there you were going to go back.
These are two of my sleeper teams, by the way, Kansas City this year. The Chiefs I have laying the West, and I just think they looked pretty good. I'll be honest with you. Jamal Charles is a really good running back.
That's just in.
They couldn't use him anymore.
Right.
Down the street because they fell behind with the turnovers.
Right.
But he was, I mean, this guy, I mean, he rips off just 5-6 yard runs, it seems, every time he touches the ball.
All right, so,
I really, this is one of my top ones, actually. I really like the Chiefs.
Is that one of your six?
Yes, that's
okay.
One of my six.
All right, so that's the first one we differ on. And by the way, when you were saying about your Bills-Chiefs history, I'm going, is he going back to the days of Lynn Elliott? Where is this going?
No, I thought you were
back
to like the 90s.
Because
last year I was very cold on the Chiefs.
Okay.
I alternated. 2 years ago, they were my sleeper. They won the AFC West. Last year, a clear case of regression was in the works. I played against them in that Buffalo game.
Okay.
This year, let's reverse it. I'm telling you what. Kind of playing the betting chess game, by the way. What I really would like to see.
Game of human chess, Larry Zbyszko.
Yes, what I would really like to see is an 0-2 Bills team coming to Cleveland next week, and all the dog pound fans, oh, this is our win, you know, we're going to get this one. And for me just to walk to the Muni lot and be like, you know what, give me the Bills.
I can see you doing that also.
Yes.
Speaking of the Browns,
I'll cut my hand out. Yeah, I'll do a little of this too. Well, Hulk Hogan action.
Speaking of the Browns, they're going to be in one of the two toughest games, I think, on the slate coming up here, with the line being what it is. But the other one of the two is our next one, and it involves the team that coincidentally played the Browns last week. Baltimore at Philly. Eagles started the week laying one. They're up to laying two. This is a hard one for me.
Yeah, this was actually probably my hardest game. Total coin flip for me.
Here's my reasoning on this one. Because I for some teams, I don't think it's too early to really start applying the pressure. The Eagles, if they lose, particularly if they look bad, they will be the worst 1-1 team in league history. Because they're the worst 1-0 team in league history. If they don't look good against Baltimore, Kyle, it's going to be here we go again. They're going to have a 4-8 start, and I just don't see it. I don't see Philly going down the crapper. There's no in-between after the way they looked against the Browns. They were absolutely pathetic. I'm not lying. Worst 1-0 team in league history.
I see you're coming around to my way of thinking here. Would you like to catch the red eye to Bristol after the show?
Worst 1-0 team in history.
They are. They're miserable. But, again, I'm picking them over Baltimore because I think it's an absolute must-win for Philly. The grip is going to be on. The panic is going to be on if they don't look good this week.
Well, we are a fair and balanced program to quote one of your favorite lines there. So let me talk about Baltimore.
Right.
You mentioned we both took Cincinnati last Monday.
Yeah.
That was not – I thought the final was not indicative. That was, again, like an Atlanta-Kansas City.
Right.
A game that was pretty close. Cincinnati was in the number in the third quarter. And then all of a sudden, it just snowballed out of control in that third quarter. I mean, Baltimore put up like 17 points, it seemed, in 2 seconds.
Right.
I mean, I was watching on DVR, so I mean, that's probably why it seemed that way. But you still get the point. They looked great. Everyone, and you and I, or you had the Ravens in the playoffs, didn't you?
I did. I got one in the division.
I did not. And if I was clear to make an adjustment to my playoff picks after 1 week, it would clearly Baltimore in, Buffalo out.
Mm-hmm.
But
ironically, I'm giving on the other hardball. I'm saying San Francisco to make it. I wasn't picking them before.
Okay, here's the thing. I liked the Eagles a lot more than the Ravens to start the year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a coin flip game. It's a tough one. I'm simply going to go because the public loves the Ravens. Now, the Eagles are terrible since Vic came aboard as a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're like 5-14 their last time, 19 times laying points, something like that. I can maybe get a check on that. But this is a smaller number than usual at home, and they can't possibly play worse, you're right, than they did last week against Cleveland. If Andy Reid said to the team before that game, guys, do me a favor, play as bad as you possibly can. I have no other explanation for him. Mike Vick was atrocious.
He was.
I mean, he was, and a guy we've been talking to, I was watching that game a little bit at the time and the Detroit-St. Louis game.
Mm-hmm.
Simultaneously, Vic and Stafford, Matt Stafford, Detroit, were seemingly having a competition, unbeknownst to them, who could throw the more mind-numbing interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like a five-minute stretch where they just kept throwing. I was like, "What are you two doing?"
Yep.
I mean, so, but the Eagles escaped, turned the ball over five times, beat a terrible Browns team, and I just think they win. I'm just going against the public here. And this is by no means official, but I'll lay the very small number with the Eagles. Typically, when a team's really bad in a role, like the Eagles have been his favorite, they start to get back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, let's say that, just because I had the Eagles winning their division before the year, I had the Ravens not in the playoffs. That plays a role, too.
Last week, Mike Vick's passer rating was inferior to his popularity rating with the ASPCA.
Okay. It was still higher than your boy Brand Wheaton's QB rating. I don't care if you're doing the old-fashioned QB rating, the ESPN QBR, or just, you know, here. I don't need to put a number to it. It stinks.
Putting up the Dolby Surround Sound QB rating.
It was an ugly win for the Eagles, but I agree with you that if they lose here, it's going to get real ugly for Andy Reid.
It's going to. Talked about it before, a matchup of two chode teams. Got another one for you here. This is Oakland at Miami. And, again, strange, much like Minnesota. How is Minnesota rated good enough to be a road favorite?
Yeah.
Same thing with the Raiders. They've actually gone from laying 1 to laying 2.5. That makes me all the more comfortable going on the Dolphins, that the public seems to be going that way. Give me the Dolphins in this one here. Again, I'm queasy about the game, but give me the home team in a scenario between two road teams, or two horrible teams.
Fifth official selection here out of the six, so okay. I'm just going to be flipping coins from here on out, it seems. But no, I'm with you. This is one of my favorite picks of the week, actually, the Dolphins. Look, the Dolphins' popularity, right, you talk about teams that whose popularity is the toilet. Mm-hmm. After Hard Knocks and kind of the bad offseason they had, no one likes the Dolphins right now. But I was astounded that the Oakland Raiders open as a road favorite. Let me tell you how shocking that is. I looked back. I couldn't find the last time they were a road favorite.
Yeah.
I literally couldn't. I mean, it's been more than 5 years, I can tell you that they've been a road favorite. And I went inside the numbers, Rick. You did a little homework here. I dropped things on my paper. Last five seasons in the Eastern time zone, Oakland 2-12 straight up. They're working on a short week.
Right.
As well, keep in mind, after the Monday night game. And the Dolphins should be a small favorite. If you remember, I had both these teams in last. I think both of us.
Sure.
I had finishing in last in their respective divisions. But these teams, because they typically do finish in last, have a little recent history against each other. And it's not been good for the Raiders. I mean, it's a lot. Some of those losses in the Eastern time zone have occurred right here in the state. They've been blown out the last 2 years by Miami. Love Miami plus the points. They'll win this game straight up.
Yeah, I would think so.
Love this game. This is one of my favorites.
Again,
that's another thing, too. Not only do I, this is a, like kind of almost a triple whammy. The Dolphin home dog,
mm-hmm.
and then the West Coast team traveling. I love to play against West Coast teams in 1 o'clock
yep.
starts. Now, there's some, it's not a steadfast rule. I know I took Arizona earlier, and that would kind of go against it, but that's just because of the generous points. But, and Oakland is as bad a traveler as they're, and they're, I mean, not only are they 2-12
mm-hmm.
straight up in the Eastern time zone, Ricky, but I mean, a lot of losses have been bad, like 20-point losses. Go back and look at the schedule. I mean, it's pretty frightening to see how the Raiders have performed in these early starts. And, I mean, as much as everyone thinks the Dolphins stink, the Raiders don't stink as bad or worse.
Well, and that's the thing. The public has yet to catch up, and the odds makers, I think, to how bad Oakland is. Versus, I mean, they know how bad Miami is. I give you credit, Miami and Indy, in two of your big picks for the week here, you're going with bad teams, but that's a measure of how much you like the matchups, I guess.
Well, hey, they're not so much play-ons, play-against.
Okay.
You know, I just don't think Minnesota, I mean, I just can't think of any team. I mean, you could have you, me, and nine other guys, you know, going, playing at home. I don't know, I mean, that would, I guess, I mean, that's really stretched. We would have to have some sort of home arena.
Right.
But, playing against those two teams, getting points?
The next one here, the very execrable Battle of Ohio. I don't think this one's going to spill a lot of beer at the VFW Hall in Zanesville, but it's Cleveland at Cincinnati. And a line where the Bengals are laying 7, hasn't really been an appreciative change in that the whole week. I told you I thought that this was one of the hardest ones on the slate, one of the two hardest along with Baltimore and Philly. I'm going to go with Cincinnati, but here's why I think it's so hard. As horrible as the Browns are, and I agree that they're the worst team in the league, it's a thing of where you look at what the defense did last week. And this started years ago in my fantasy football league here with the fellas. We used to, whenever there was a team that would, like, let's just say that they absolutely sucked. They didn't hardly have anybody on there, but they would win their games like 9-7. They would win because like the other team they were playing had everybody on the bye week, and somehow or another we just started referring to teams like that as penis punchers. A lot of times with bad NFL teams, it's backdoor covers. The Browns didn't backdoor last week. They had that cover pretty much all day, and you were right, but I mean, it's still, as long as they have Dick Geron getting
way more out of that defense than they ever should. And I agree with you, Andy. Andy Reid had horrible play calling. But this is a team that if you go against them too often when they're laying those points, they're going to get you. They got the fist pointed right at the groin. I don't think they're going to be able to hold off Cincinnati this week. But if I'm wrong, that makes me wrong twice in 2 weeks.
The Browns are in a lot of trouble, man. I mean, this team looked terrible. I mean, I would love to sit here and look up, and maybe I should have since I'm doing a radio program. But when was the last time a team lost a game when they got five turnovers from the other side? At home?
Yeah.
Cincinnati off of what obviously the final score says is a terrible loss opening week.
Short week,
I know. But I would love if somehow this line was bet down to 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think it's going to happen because I don't see anyone putting a lot of jack on the Browns. But look, off a bad loss, Bengals, they've kind of really dominated the Browns in recent seasons. They've won 4 of the last 5, 5 of the last 6, 6 of the last, 6 of the last 7 against the Browns. And those aren't a lot of good Bengals teams either. Now, they have been typically close, to your point. I'm looking at a lot of 3-point games. A.J. Green, though, before the game got out, looked great.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy and Julio Jones are really ready to hit that upper echelon of receivers in this league. And Joe Hayden, remember, suspended.
Yep.
This one could get out of hand for the Browns, and they may not be in a position to back to recover. Not an official one. Slight lean. Bengals, we're agreeing too much.
Yeah, I just think it's too imbalanced.
Brandon Reed is awful. I mean, we can't say. I mean, he looks good. And the thing is, I know. You know, you and I know this fan base a lot more than maybe a lot of the listeners who are listening, you know, nationwide, possibly even worldwide. The easy knee-jerk thing to say if you're a Cleveland fan, and I saw you say this too, by the way, is, oh, you know, I guess Colt McCoy wasn't the only problem here.
Yep.
That's true.
Yep.
But I'm not convinced the Browns beat. Some people are like, if Colt McCoy would have played, we would have won that game. I'm not subscribing to that.
It was so close. And he was so bad, I don't know.
Colt McCoy,
they wouldn't have gotten one more field goal with McCoy in there?
I can't say that with certainty. Colt McCoy's terrible. I believe I posted recently, you know, Couch v. Holcomb, Anderson v. Quinn, and then now McCoy v. Whedon. These aren't quarterback controversies. There's no controversy here. They all stink.
I see. You also in there threw in Couch and Quinn, neither of whom got a fair chance in their own right anyways.
Well, you could
so always have that in common.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When guys don't get fair shakes,
yeah,
and this isn't always, there are some guys who just get screwed, I guess, by the system.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you don't like to hear that quite frankly with your political leanings, but there are some guys who get screwed by the system, but a lot of guys kind of resurface somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know you don't want to hear this, but, for instance, Jeff Garcia stunk here for whatever reason, but he was very good when he went elsewhere.
Sometimes there's blackballing. I go back to how that racist Don Chaney buried our boy Dave Jamerson back in the day and must have blackballed him all throughout the association, and he never got the chance to come off the bench and put in 40 a game like we knew he'd be capable of doing from time to time. The look on your face, by the way, is just awesome.
That was not the reference I would have gone with.
Okay. That's the one I always like to go with. Don Chaney and Dave Jamerson.
Look, Browns fans, I'm telling you what. I had this as the second worst team in the league. You're down to the worst. I don't see how they win a division game.
Oh, no. Oh, that goes
well. I said 3 or 4 when we did our previews.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more like 2 or 3.
And here's the thing, too.
This team is hideous.
This is what I love, is that a lot of my fellow Browns fans still have the nards to refer to Cincinnati's team as the Bungles. Where do any of us get off calling
it's
them
just
the
like,
Bungles?
It's like what I say. It's like, look, you may not like Pittsburgh, but look. They do everything right.
Right.
Especially all the things you do wrong.
That's true.
So, the Browns are terrible.
They are. And so you and I are both taking Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, I'll tell you what. If you didn't like my Giants pick and you want to waste New England, I know he kind of disagreed with that term. Cincinnati wouldn't be a bad choice, in my opinion, one of those eliminator pools.
Okay.
They're definitely going to win the game. I think you agree that the Browns have zero chance of winning this game straight up.
Oh, no. No, okay. That cannot, will not happen. Next game we're going to talk about here, Dallas at Seattle. That is one where the Cowboys went from laying 4 earlier in the week to laying 3. And this is one where, again, this brings up some weird thoughts. Again, I sort of feel like I am in the midst of a nice little John Kerry flip-flop here because I was much higher on Seattle than I was Dallas coming into the year. And I don't want to let my opinions be moved too much by week one, but Dallas with a hell of an effort against the Giants last Wednesday night here. Seattle, again, you know, proving what a lot of people suspected about having a rookie in there at quarterback. Seattle's at home. I should like them based on where I was going into last week.
Come on, Ricky. Come on, Ricky. Stick to your convictions.
I must be drinking Edwards Kool-Aid. I'm taking the Cowboys.
Oh, no.
What? Okay.
Want to know something?
What?
As you know, I did not pick Seattle to make the playoffs. I was one of those people who did not think they would live up to some of those lofty expectations. But you know what? Give me the Seabags this week, plus the three. I, as you know, have been in the industry, follow these things very closely, making picks for a long time before I did it with you here on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started doing it, and I would see these small numbers going, because I haven't had a high opinion of Seattle in years, to be honest with you. Let me tell you something, man. You can really lose your shirt laying short numbers against Seattle in this Quest Field. This team is really good at home. I mean, they have wins over the likes of the Saints, the Ravens, the Eagles, in their last 10 home games alone.
They beat the Giants in a game last year that I'm still not sure happened, even though I saw
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and this, to me, it's a noisy place for an undisciplined team like Dallas, who kind of sometimes has mental breakdowns. Dallas is, whereas I think the long layoff helps the Giants, because from the season opener, it's been a long time since that game seems like it took place a year ago now.
Mm-hmm.
It'll help the Giants. It'll fuel them against the Bucs. I believe it hurts Dallas. They've had too much time to pat themselves on the back. This is going to be classic Cowboys.
I was doing blow at the Hooker House.
Well, I'm not going to go that far. but to me, you look at it, and they're back. See, the Cowboys are finally living up to that potential. And I've been guilty of saying that in previous years, because on paper, when you look at this team, they should be better. They should have more division championships. They should have more playoff wins, but they don't. This is a classic Cowboys gag job. Not an official pick, but I do like Seattle.
Okay, something that should make me nervous here, but isn't going to move me any, largely because of my respect for DeMarco Murray. I understand they were playing against Arizona last week, but Seattle only giving up 43 yards on the ground. I mean, that's a superhuman effort.
They finished fourth last year, 3.7 yards per rush allowed. Seattle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a good rush defense.
It is.
The Seahawks have. And, again, Quest, it's a real, I'm telling you, we talk about home road dichotomy with the Saints. Seahawks, same way. They're a much better team at home. And as much as I didn't believe the hype that maybe you and some of the others were saying about that they could win the West over the Niners, there's got to be something there, and they're at home. Dallas, to me, these teams are fairly even.
So Kyle Ross is saying, give me Coach Him Up Pete.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, no one's ever accused Coach Him Up Jason on the other side. Road teams have a really high amount of penalties on this field.
They do.
By the way.
They do. I will say this. Part of Seattle's home field advantage that they've had historically goes to matters of climate, by the way, so much for global warming, if that's the case.
Oh, because global warming doesn't exist. Yeah, I got my ear blasting at 100 miles an hour in the middle of September, and I will die a heat stroke three times this summer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pointing out to you, Seattle has no climate advantage in this game. It is the middle of September.
Honestly, and I know it's Lear Jets and limousines with these NFL players now.
Nobody's going to be chucking snowballs at the Cowpokes on Sunday.
Yeah, but it's still, I'm telling you, Seattle's a tough place to go and win. If you win in Seattle, you play well.
Okay.
Tavares Jackson is the Seahawks quarterback.
Well, the next one, it's interesting I referenced the John Kerry flip-flop, because I'm doing one on the next game here. I'm totally flip-flopping. FDH Director of Research, Nate Noy, brought me around on this one. Washington at St. Louis. Last week, everybody and their grandmother is jumping on Robert Griffin III after that performance last week. That's why you'd have to figure that Washington is the favorite after St. Louis had a heroic effort last week, covering as I said that they would. I said I just had a feeling about them against Detroit.
That's a good call by you.
They almost won outright. Thank you. I'm looking at
this. They should have won. Some people say they should have won outright.
Well, I'm paying attention to what you've said previously about teams that are just a short favorite on the road and everything. Washington's just not good enough to be laying the points here. I think it's a mirage. I am flip-flopping on this one from taking Washington a second straight week to I am on the Rams.
I like the Redskins. This is the one road favorite I like, and I'll tell you what.
Really?
Yeah. And I know it's not necessarily because the RG, yeah, maybe a little bit's RG3. They've got a lot of momentum. They're feeling good. And keep in mind, though, playing the game of human chess here.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want Washington to win this selfishly so I can start playing against them in the next couple weeks. Because then, remember, folks, talk about this, sports fans. The Redskins started 2-0 last year. They beat, including a win over the eventual Super Bowl champion Giants in week one.
Right.
They didn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This just did. They only won 4 games the rest of the year after that 2-0 start. I think St. Louis, even though they're coming home, and yes, it was a gallant effort against Detroit,
mm-hmm.
they probably should have won that game. And I'm going to tell you why. They were +3 in terms of Matt Stafford. We'll talk about him a little bit more when we get to the Sunday night game against the Niners. Gifted them. They should have been up a lot more in that first half. And I mean, Stafford was just eyeballing Calvin Johnson all the time, made 3 terrible interceptions. If you can't win when you're +3 in turnovers, that's kind of alarming to
mm-hmm.
me. It's kind of interesting. One of the biggest snafus by the replacement refs in week one occurred in that St. Louis-Detroit game when the clock should have kept running after a Bradford slide,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't. And it actually gave the Lions enough time for the game-winning drive at the end there. Yeah, they stayed within the number. It was a game effort, but they're just not very good, the Rams. And this is going to be the one home dog I go against this week. I just think the Redskins have a little carryover from last week. The Rams a little hangover. Not an official one, but we will go with Washington laying a short number. These teams have played, by the way, each of the last 2 years. Here in St. Louis, the Redskins did win, ironically enough, without Robert Griffin III, obviously,
okay.
but laying 17-10 last year. Now, granted, it was a little later in the season. The Rams were just god-awful, but...
I see this being like an 18-16 game where St. Louis is pretty much scoring on nothing but field goals.
Well, keep in mind, Robert Griffin... in the bowl game he played mm-hmm. against Washington. I don't know if you remember if you have the Alamo Bowl highlights readily available in your mind. Remember it was like a video game. I had the over that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I remember it. It was like 60-something to 60-something was the final score. RG3 playing in a dome for a second straight week, you know, kind of conducive to the way he wants to play. The Rams just don't have enough weapons.
They do not. That's true. They're still very short on that end there. Two teams will be playing a game that will not feel like it's taking place in a dome, partially because it's not, and partially because of the style that they play. It's the Jets at Pittsburgh. Steelers are laying 5.5. It was 6.5 earlier in the week. This is one where, again, I struggled on so many of these this week here, and obviously the Jets came out looking really strong last week. I will say it will be a different matter altogether to do what they did to the Pittsburgh defense. And I think, again, after a tough week one loss, Steelers come back here. I'm laying the points.
This is my 6th and final official pick. I agree with you. Classic case of going against TV, of talking heads. Everyone thinks the Jets are so great now. I loved the Jets last week,
mm-hmm.
laying the 3 against Buffalo, simply because, again, it's so funny the way the wind turns in the NFL, isn't it? The
mm-hmm.
wind blows, I should add. I don't think wind turns. I believe it blows, last time I checked. But
this just in.
Yeah. The Jets got 2 non-offensive touchdowns last week. I always like to note that teams that get non-offensive touchdowns, those don't happen every week. You don't get unless you're the Chicago Bears.
Right.
But the Steelers, the scoreboard said they lost 31-19, but they were down 24-19, had the ball, and then Roethlisberger threw the pick 6 to seal the deal. Look, I know you don't like him. I know probably a lot of people listening to the show don't like him personally. But
love him.
Okay, but let me tell you something. My relationship with any pro athlete is strictly consumer product. I don't know these guys. I'm not friends with them. Ben Roethlisberger is, I don't care that they lost, is a great quarterback. I mean, this guy, he reminds me of John Elway. I've said that before, I think, in this program. The way he just, you know, it's like 3rd and 10, you're like, oh, boy, that's kind of an ugly drive. They're going to give the ball right back. He'll always make that just great pass, and the Jets are not putting up 48 points in this game.
No.
Against the Steelers. Steelers get both Clark and Harrison back. Oh, by the way, the Jets may be without Revis.
Yeah.
And that means either Mike Wallace or Antonio Brown's had a huge day.
Yeah.
Like I said, Roethlisberger, man, he loves to chuck the ball around the yard. Last week, everyone thought the Jets were the worst. This week, everyone thinks they're so great. Go against the Lay a less than 7. Plus, I like how this number, to just illustrate my point, this number's come down. It's like 5.5 in some shops right now.
Yeah.
So, lay that in the Pittsburgh. By the way, Tim Tebow didn't do anything last week.
Yeah.
Sanchez, my boy, who I've defended at times, played a really nice game, I thought. Tim Tebow ought to be ashamed of himself. And I'm not a guy who attacks Tebow. You know that. I defended him all year last year.
Yeah.
He kept, you know, photobombing. You ever seen this on
Facebook? Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, who is this random guy?
I've done that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow was camera bombing last week. I watch all the games.
Okay.
They kept showing Sanchez on the sideline, and Tebow kept waltzing in the shot. At first I was like, oh, look, there's Tebow. It must be a quick. But it happened like 12 times where they were showing Sanchez on the sideline, and Tebow would just kind of jump on over, sit next to him.
That's worse faltering than that piece of crap Kelly Holcomb. Wow, that's
yeah.
pretty bad.
It was kind of shameless by Tim Tebow. So, yeah, this is my sixth and final official one. Love the Steelers. A good team that's well coached and by getting some key defensive cogs back.
Yeah, they're gonna cover the number.
That offensive line of the Jets that was so suspect in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills, I don't know what the hell they were doing last week. The Jets' offensive line is going to have a real tough time against Blitzburg.
I'll tell you,
Dick LeBeau and his different schemes.
It's going to be real tough. This last one here before the three three picks here that I like for the week. The thing that scares me about this one is just talking to people. Everybody seems to believe the same thing on this one, although the number hasn't changed through the course of the week. San Francisco laying 7 at home on Sunday night against Detroit. Everybody's just loading up on San Francisco, and I'm right there with them. I think they're going to cover the number here. I am a believer. And after 1 week, I'm already throwing Seattle under the bus and saying San Francisco will repeat in the division. But again, that's the only thing that scares me. San Francisco looks fairly obvious in this one, and the things that are that obvious in the NFL generally end up not being so.
True. Now, we haven't mentioned it at all, as a matter of fact. The 49ers-Packers game from last week is the Packers play on Thursday, and obviously by the time, you know, the podcast, we don't have time to talk about the Thursday game. Once again, all the regression, you know, last year, I was one of these people who said, you know, Harbaugh with the lockout, he's a great coach. I saw what he did at Stanford. You know, I like him, obviously, because he's from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just not going to have time to turn this thing around in such a short window. He did. All the regression analysts were all about, oh, the 49ers, they weren't that good. They're dropping back to the pack. My point is, yeah, they're not going to match last year's 13-win total, but they can still win this easy division. And once again, people just continue to underestimate the coaching job that Jim Harbaugh is doing here. He has Alex Smith believing he's a good quarterback. Whether he is or not, it's irrelevant. Alex, like, it was funny.
I don't think hypnosis could even do that.
It was funny. Somebody referenced last year, there was a, you know, they always show after these on these highlight shows, the locker room speeches after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Harbaugh, like, grabbed Alex Smith, and he's like, how about our quarterback? He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And Alex Smith was looking at him. He's like, yeah, I guess I am. Like, you know, he was just, like, motivating him. And, I mean, Harbaugh has just done an unbelievable job here. Obviously, this will be a heavily hyped game because of Handshake Gate last year. I thought Jim Schwartzman taking his back slap like a man and gotten off the field like a loser he is.
I thought Harbaugh had a horrible sportsmanship in that circumstance here.
Wouldn't it be great if he had with sweet chin music after this year's victory? But I'm with you. I like the Niners after that long soliloquy. Just so impressed. You talk about teams that impressed me in week one. Baltimore, Atlanta, who we'll talk about in a little bit, and San Francisco.
Yep.
Teams that did not impress me, despite winning in week one. Put Detroit and Philadelphia on the top of that list. You know, I texted you, I believe, during the 1 o'clock games, hey, you know, because the Saints and the Lions were the two teams you and I both agreed would regress the most.
Yes.
As far as NFC playoff teams. Saints, hey, they held steady for us. The Lions, they should have lost to the Rams.
Yeah.
Matt Stafford, I'll tell you, I can speak to this from experience, okay? He reminded me last week with the way he was locking on Calvin Johnson of that lonely soul at the end of the bar at about 2 a.m. when there's one hot girl left, okay? It was closing time. I mean, he was just staring at him. He was trying to burn a hole through Calvin Johnson. And the Rams player's like, wow, I wonder if he's going to throw to Calvin Johnson here. And, I mean, his three interceptions that he threw, They weren't like those fluky. They were just awful.
Brandon Whedon thought he telegraphed the throws too much.
And look, it's a passing league. I understand that. But the teams like Green Bay and Detroit, sometimes I wonder if they're just too pig-headed about what they can do, just dropping back and throwing. You can't, and the Eagles, you can't throw, it is a passing league, but I don't want to see teams throwing it 50-plus times a game. I mean, Vic,
right.
Didn't Vic, for instance, throw it 56 times against Cleveland? What are you doing with this? Now, granted, they have LeSean McCoy. The Lions have no run game.
Right.
But I just think, to me, the Niners are way better than the Lions. And this line is fair. This is a fair line. It's not an official one for me. It's tough because the Niners have to win by two scores, and they're not built to win by two scores. I mean, they were a team, obviously, the market was kind of slow to react to last year,
mm-hmm.
so they didn't have to win by two scores a lot to cover point spreads. But they certainly, I believe, have enough in the tank for this one. Detroit, undisciplined team. I don't like Jim Schwartz. I didn't like them at all. That was like the one good feel-good story I didn't care about.
Well,
and the Niners' defense, by the way,
yeah,
incredible. And also indoor team playing outdoors.
That's true. All again, mid-September. So.
And it's not exactly like the winters in San Francisco are very bad either. Okay?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But still, grass. I mean, it's not the fast track.
That's true. You do have that factor in there. And the usually horrible groundskeeping, I believe, out at the old Candlestick. So
and that's true,
that
too. You know, I mean, a passing team is going to be effective. I mean, the I keep wanting to call them the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
But the 49ers are really going to beat them up, I think.
It'll be one of those things where they'll have watered the field so much, it'll be under like 3 inches of water, and Detroit's going to be like, hey, wait a minute. I heard it hasn't rained out here for a month. How did that happen?
And keep in mind, too, Lions minus 3 in turnovers last week.
Mm-hmm.
No team had a better plus-minus ratio last year than the opportunistic 49ers.
They are merciless on those. We come now to my big three picks of the week here. I was 1-2 on these last week. First of mine, Houston. They are.
I can't believe the three games you isolated. These were three games that I did not like at all.
At Jacksonville here, Houston is laying 7 down from 7.5. This is another famous last words, because I saw last week with Philly they should have been laying 2 touchdowns to the Browns. But here I mean it. Here I truly do mean it. I do certainly believe that they should be laying that much more to Jacksonville, and would be if it was a midseason game. Again, I'm not going exactly what I said last week, so that's a little bit scary, but I think Houston's just going to blow them off the field.
And I'm going to echo what I said last week to what you said last week, if you're keeping score at home. I just don't, particularly at this time of the season, have any interest in road favorites of this size.
Okay.
I know Jacksonville is bad. And I certainly believe they're one of the 3 or 4 worst teams in this league. But Blaine Gabbert kind of secretly looks a little, I mean, he couldn't be any worse than he was last year. But he's improved. I could make the argument that they should have won last week. They gave up a late score to Minnesota that forced overtime.
They beat Minnesota. Congratulations.
Well, okay.
Welcome to the NFL, Jacksonville.
But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to. I certainly don't think they'll win this game.
Mm-hmm.
But they just have to keep it close at home. The Jaguars, I believe, have. Up until last year, had beaten Houston 4 years in a row home. This is certainly not Bears-Packers in the pantheon of NFL rivalries, but it's a pretty tight one nonetheless.
Don't even tell me in a divisional game throw the records out. Don't even go there.
You know, Ricky, I believe in a divisional game you need to throw the records out the window. But no, I mean, remember that Hail Mary game of a few years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, these teams always play close games, and as much as I love Houston, and they didn't play the best game, they clobbered Miami last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe, though, when they're my pick to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see it. I want to see them cover a spread like this on the road. Because this is still uncharted waters for this franchise.
All right.
Until I start picking them doing it. Until, hey, if they blow out Jacksonville, I'm not going to say, I can't believe this happened. But I'm sticking with the home dog.
Wow.
With the home dog.
Okay.
Hold your nose. Could be a backdoor man, Jim Morrison situation.
You're picking a lot of bad teams this week. Very, very interesting. This next one here, it is Tennessee at San Diego. Chargers laying 6. That number is held firm. Kind
this
of throughout
is kind
the
of
week.
You, by the way, with me and Buffalo and Kansas City.
Yeah.
Kind of my two sleeper. This is kind of your. This is when I looked at this.
Yeah.
Game, this is the Rick Morris Bowl. You had both these teams in the playoffs.
Yeah. This is the bizarre world Buffalo Kansas City game, and I did, and I think. I think Tennessee's going to rally. I see them. If you remember, like, a couple of years ago, didn't they start, like 0-7 and still almost made the playoffs or something like that?
That was, because they were coming off the 13-3 year.
Yeah.
And they were a clear case, again, they were a clear candidate for regression the next year.
Mm-hmm.
They regressed way worse than anyone thought.
Yeah.
And they made the quarterback switch from Collins to Vince Young.
Yeah.
And they wound up finishing mediocre, and then everyone kind of the next year is like, well, they weren't as bad as they were at the beginning, but not as good as they were at the end, and they kind of finished in the middle again. They didn't look... They disappointed me. I thought they would be able to do better at home against New England. They were clearly overmatched.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego is going to win this game, but I don't think they'll cover. I have these two teams rated pretty even. I think this line is off by about field goal, to be honest with
you.
Okay. Yeah. San Diego wasn't that impressive. I granted, in full candor, I have not watched the coach's tape yet. I did fall asleep.
The full 22.
Yeah, I did fall asleep in the Chargers-Raiders game last week.
Oh, so did we all.
Yes. I only played the first half under, by the way. I wish I came away with a win, by the way. Is anyone dirtier than me? So once I won that, I didn't care anymore. But they benefited from three bad snaps from the Raiders punt team. Only won by 8. Tennessee's much better than Oakland. I have these two teams rated pretty even, so the Titans will sneak in the number. They will be the best 0-2 team, while the Chargers will be the worst 2-0 team.
Okay, and my sense is, yeah, I think San Diego's going to win and cover the 6 because I think they're going to come out stronger than they did Monday night. I think they're going to have the opportunity.
Oh, you like San Diego?
I like San Diego.
Oh, my goodness.
No, yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I went through a loop for a loop.
I'm taking the home favorite. Yeah, I'm laying the 6. I think they're going to cover it, and that's
Jake Locker's health is kind of a concern.
That's the thing here too. I think so.
And Jake Locker's kind of a concern.
Doing this on the shakiness of Tennessee than an endorsement of San Diego. Although, as I said, I do think
I think they got off to a 2-0 start because they're always a notorious awful starter in September.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like everybody else in the league. It's been cornholed repeatedly by the Chargers over time, and yet I'm going with them this week. That's how much I hate the card. I mean, it's a thing where this is the although it's the second one I'm announcing, it was the last one to make the cut. The last one I'm announcing is always my 1,000-star gold plate of the Lock of the Millennium for this week.
Is this true? Chris Johnson had only 4 yards rushing last week on 11 carries?
Yeah, he was horrible.
Oh, dear God.
He was horrible. And
is that true?
That is true.
Oh, I'm just finding this out from our crack staff here.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Nate.
Yeah.
Thanks for the note.
Oh, my God. Is his career over? That was part of my
calculation.
Sure, I still think they could keep this one close.
Okay, yeah, I just...
Kenny Britt's back from suspension. That's kind of nice.
He is. Nate Washington's a little banged up, but yeah, I don't love this game, but I had to pick 3 based on the way I do it, and I'm going to go with San Diego. The other one for my lock pick, I don't remember, and I've been doing this a couple of years now, I don't ever remember taking the same team 2 weeks in a row. And yet I'm going to do that this time. Denver at Atlanta.
I cannot believe
the Monday night game.
Lock.
This is my lock. I think the Falcons were laying 4, laying 3 now, because everybody's so in love with Denver. I've seen what they did on Sunday night. Again, I think Atlanta keeps the momentum going from what they saw on Sunday. I've been a believer in them. I don't have them going to even to the NFC Championship game, but I do think this is the year they break through and get that first playoff win and certainly win the NFC South again. I've been a believer in Atlanta the last couple of years. They were saying they were going to turn Matty Ice loose more this year. You saw it week 1 against Kansas City, such that Michael Turner actually did nothing for one of my fantasy teams.
I had him, too. I thought he was maybe, like, not retired or something. I had to, like, keep looking to see him in the game.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. They put up 40 without much of a semblance of balance. I think you're going to see more balance from here on in. Denver, again, for as much as everybody put over their defense last year in the whole Tebow minimization thing, and I did that a little bit too, but I always pointed out it was an opportunistic defense, certainly not a great one. This is a shootout. I see points and yards galore in this one, but in the end, Atlanta covers the 3.
You know, it's nice to see a fine network like ESPN finally get a bone from the league and get a good Monday night game. I was really... When I looked, I was like, oh, what's the Monday night game next week? Because I wasn't really interested.
I can't wait until they start getting Jacksonville-Oakland games again.
Okay. This is a great game. It is. You couldn't have a further game for me as my 1,000-star. This, to me, is my most wishy-washy. This is my 1,000-star wishy-washy pick of the week.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, other than Baltimore-Philly and then that Cincinnati, will they be able to cover the 7? There's no game I'm more unsure, and maybe that Tennessee-San Diego game we just talked about, so it's interesting that the two games you like the most are the two I'm most confused on. There's not a game that I have scratched in my head more than this one.
Okay.
Two good teams, but slightly Atlanta. They looked phenomenal in the first half last week. I told you I made it a point to watch a lot of that game. Julio Jones, by the end of this year, could be the best receiver in the league, not named Calvin Johnson.
He's not good enough for Tom Heckert, though.
Yeah. How about your boys? The brother. Let's trade down and get value.
Yeah.
Let's go to four mediocre shows at the Beachland Ballroom rather than going to the primetime show at Quicken Loans Arena. So, okay? Let me tell you something.
Nothing wrong with value, but you didn't get it for a megastar in Julio Jones.
Especially when your receivers stink.
Right.
Okay? How about that? Okay.
Right.
The Cleveland Browns are dumb. Can I just say that publicly? What a dumb organization.
He would have put my boy Colt McCoy in the Pro Bowl last year. Book it.
He wasn't that great last year. He got those slow starts.
That's
actually
true, yeah.
But, people were saying this year, look for Julio Jones to explode.
Yeah.
Remember Roddy White? Like how good he was? He's been? He is clearly the. Matt Ryan, there was a drive where he just kept throwing to Julio Jones. Kansas City couldn't cover. Now, the only thing that has to be scared, Kansas City was down two key defensive players last week.
Right.
And the game was closer than the final score indicated. But Kansas, I have Kansas City and Denver's fairly even teams.
Right.
And Atlanta's back in that dome. And you're right. Everyone's all, and I will say this. I root for people. I'm not one of these, these blogosphere types who's anti-achievement, okay? You talk about always anti-American. I'm always beating up on people who are anti-achievement in this country.
Okay.
Okay? And I'm not one of
these. And yet you vote the way you do.
Well, I vote because I'm pro-achievement, okay? Yes, we can, okay? That's achievement. Okay? That's a milestone. Okay? And I was happy, personally. I joke around. I'm a fairly cynical guy. But it was nice to see Peyton Manning. He looked really good. He didn't look like... he took some hits from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And he was running that no huddle. He looked great. But the public, I think, is going to be a little too infatuated with Denver here. In what's probably going to come down to about a field goal game,
mm-hmm.
I do like Atlanta. I'll just pick them to cover because I think they'll win. With that Monday night crowd, home team Monday night. Atlanta looked in that game last week like they could represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, and they're capable of it. And if they do, then I won't be shocked. And again, Michael Turner, we will see more out of him.
I kind of upgraded. I had them winning the division like you did.
Yeah.
I kind of upgraded. The Falcons are a team now that I had them contending for that first round bye.
Yeah.
I would not be stunned if maybe they earned home field advantage.
Considering
they did it 2 years ago.
Considering I'd given Philly one of my two first round buys, I certainly think
I'd be too. Yeah, too.
Point. And again, we will see more of Michael Turner, and Atlanta, I think, is going to be in that optimal place with the run pass balance. They'll be able to keep the defenses completely on their heels. It'll be the Barack Obama spread the wealth around offense here between the run and the pass.
Well, keep in mind, I'm disgusted by you, okay? I'm disgusted by you. Let's just go back to the days of the 19-teens and Standard Oil and your boy John Rockefeller, okay?
The 1890s were a good time, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's bring Hoover Economics back, okay?
We had pretty good prosperity in the 20s, didn't we?
Yeah.
Calvin Coolidge, my favorite president, by the way. I voted for him for the greatest U.S. president in the FDA's Lounge Pantheon.
Yeah, he's shaming.
Your thoughts, Kyle Ross?
Disgrace.
Ronald Reagan won the thing, and everybody thought I was one of the votes for Reagan. I was like, I voted for Reagan's hero.
Calvin Coolidge!
Yeah.
It's one of the worst picks I've ever seen in my life.
Business of America is business, Kyle Ross. Are we just going to end this on a complete non sequitur, or do we have one?
Well, he started like this. He started by insulting the country of Canada.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, all we can say is, again, Roger Goodell, he'll be rooting for Carolina this week here. So if there's any bad calls in that game.
Ring the bell.
Yes, ring the effing bell.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio,
Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Paper Mate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.